We live in an amazing time where the Bible, God's Word, is one of the most widely available books on the planet. Whether on a bookshelf in your home or on an app on your phone, most of us have a Bible easily within reach. But that doesn't mean it's always easy to understand. The truths of the Bible are simple, but that doesn't mean we don't still have questions. The good news is that God has answers. Join us on this episode of Tomorrow's World for another installment of Your Questions, the Bible's Answers, as we tackle three common and challenging questions and answer them directly from the pages of your Bible. Greetings. Welcome to Tomorrow's World, where we help you make sense of your world through the pages of the Bible. You know, the Bible isn't just a book. It's the inspired Word of God. The night before He was crucified, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, told His Father in prayer, "Your Word is truth." However, that doesn't mean it's always easy to understand. And when you think about it, why should the Bible always be easy to understand? Its words are intended to convey to us the mind of God. And as our Creator tells us in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." Yet the Bible can be understood with God's help and a little effort. And comprehending God's Word is worth that effort. For those viewers today who are sincerely interested in beginning that effort, we're offering you our 24-lesson Tomorrow's World Bible Study course today. The entire course is completely free, just like everything we offer on Tomorrow's World. So be sure to keep an eye out for the information you need to request your first lesson. But today, we're going to focus on three specific Bible questions, and in each case, not only explain the Bible's answer, but also highlight the broader principles you can use in the future to answer Bible questions for yourself. Our three questions today are, where did Cain get his wife? Which are the right Ten Commandments? And are Enoch and Elijah in heaven? So let's get started. Our first question is a favorite of atheists who seek to discredit the Bible, but also a legitimate question, sometimes asked by sincere people simply trying to understand. Genesis chapters 1 and 2 are plain that the first human beings God created were Adam and Eve. And Genesis chapter 4 speaks of their sons, Cain and Abel. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. You may know the story of Cain and Abel. Both brothers made offerings to God, but Cain's offering was not as worthy as Abel's. Instead of seeking to learn and improve, Cain became filled with anger, and eventually he killed his brother Abel. Murder started early for the human race. After God curses Cain for his sin, we read in Genesis chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, "Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch." And this brings us to our first question. Many ask, where did Cain get his wife? After all, Adam and Eve were the first humans, and the only two children mentioned here are Cain and Abel, two boys, one of which is dead. So just whom did Cain eventually marry? Surely not a giraffe or an oak tree. People marry people. And who was there for Cain to marry? To answer this question, we need to consider the first principle we'll apply for answering Bible questions. Examine the context around the verse or passage. So let's examine additional verses near this tale in Genesis 4 to see if we can get more details. And indeed we can, right next door in Genesis chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1 of Genesis 5, we read, "This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them, and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters." Now note that. Adam lived another 800 years and continued conceiving sons and daughters. Yes, Adam and Eve's family did not just consist of Cain, Abel, and Seth. Instead, when God commanded them in Genesis 1:28 to be fruitful and multiply, they did exactly that. And for how long? Notice that Genesis 5:5 says that all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. That is a long life. Given that the events of Genesis 1, 2, and 3 were about 6,000 years ago, Adam lived almost 1/6 of that time. And that is plenty of time to have many children. So the answer to where did Cain get his wife is plain. Cain married one of his sisters. Now, of course, today no one should marry his sister. But remember, we're talking about the very beginning of humanity. God directly created Adam and Eve, personally designing every feature of their bodies and biology. The genetic problems that plague children of close kin today would not have been a problem in the beginning. And while God later forbids such relationships in his law, as seen, for example, in Leviticus 18, verse 9, it simply wasn't necessary at the beginning. In fact, after Adam and Eve, but before the laws of Leviticus, the patriarch Abraham was married to his half-sister. The point is that there is no need to have difficulty at all in understanding the Bible statement. Yes, Cain had a wife, and that wife was his sister, another descendant of Adam and Eve. Simply reading a little more of the context around the passage immediately clears up the question. Now, our next question is sometimes presented by skeptics as a challenge to the consistency of the Bible, and also by different denominations as a challenge to each other. We'll get to that question in a moment. But first, let me give you an opportunity to request today's free offer, the Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course. This study course is unique, designed to teach you what the Bible itself says, not what man says about the Bible. This collection of lessons has been specially designed to take you through a wide range of biblical topics that will open up your understanding to God's Word and the world around you. You'll find lessons teaching you from the pages of your own Bible what God is like, how to understand prophecy, the meaning of the inspired holy days of the Bible, where our world is headed, how to live a rich and full Christian life, and the ultimate meaning of your life. Created to allow you to progress at your own pace through the teachings of the Bible, this 24-lesson course is completely free. Every fourth lesson ends with a self-checking test, and with each answer key, we send you the next collection of four lessons. As always, there is no obligation. All 24 lessons are absolutely free, no strings attached, and you can cancel the course at any time. You have nothing to risk but all of God's Word to gain. All you have to do is start by ordering your first free lesson. Here's the information you need, but be sure to come right back as we resolve the case of the battling commandments.
For today's free offer, call 1-800-236-0531 or go to twtv.org/study. This clear and straightforward resource will help you understand this vital truth straight from the pages of the Bible. If you're calling for the first time, you will also receive a free annual subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, 6 inspiring issues discussing news, science, and modern culture will help you make sense of your world from a biblical perspective. Call today and join millions around the world who are turning to Tomorrow's World for truth, prophecy, and hope in these confusing times. Call now or go to twtv.org/study.
Welcome back. Our next question has not only been used by some in attempts to discredit the Bible, but has also been a source of confusion in different denominations claiming to be Christian. It might be called the case of the battling commandments. If you're a longtime viewer of Tomorrow's World, you've heard us teach about the vital importance of the Ten Commandments numerous times in the program. Jesus Christ loved the commandments, and Christians everywhere are commanded to live by them. Yet just what are the Ten Commandments? Well, the answer you get will vary depending on whom you ask. The list of Ten Commandments given in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 is parsed differently by different groups. Here are the two main approaches. For example, many would give the following summarized list of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall make no graven images. You shall not take God's name in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You shall honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. And you shall not covet. Yet if you ask a Roman Catholic, you might get this list of summarized commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not take God's name in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You shall honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. You'll surely notice that those two lists are not the same. The first one has a commandment against the use of idols, the second commandment. But that commandment doesn't show up at all in the second list, the Roman Catholic one. And in the first list, the last commandment is against coveting. But in the second list, the Roman Catholic one, that command is split into two commands, not coveting your neighbor's wife and not coveting your neighbor's goods. So that brings us to today's second Bible question. Which are the right Ten Commandments? We know that there are ten because the Bible says so itself. We see this in Exodus 34:28, Deuteronomy 4:13, and Deuteronomy 10:4. But which are the ten? To find the answer, you might look at Deuteronomy 5, which lists all Ten Commandments. There we see the final passage stated this way in verse 21. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. But should you shall not covet your neighbor's wife be broken out as a separate commandment from you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, etc.? The verse numbering was added later by scholars, so that doesn't help. Looking at the verse, it seems that there's no way to tell. So is the answer to the question, which are the right Ten Commandments? Well, it depends on whom you ask. Nonsense. Because the truth is not determined by Roman Catholic councils or Lutheran synods or evangelical conferences. The truth is determined by the Word of God, and when it comes to His commandments, He makes the answer plain. To discover it, we just need to use another helpful principle for understanding the Bible. Examine other scriptures that cover the same topic. Jesus Christ said in John 10:35 that the scripture cannot be broken, meaning God's word does not contradict itself. So if two passages of the Bible speak about the same subject, including the Ten Commandments, they must both be true. In this case, we should ask ourselves, is there any other passage that also lists the Ten Commandments, other than Deuteronomy 5? And yes, there is. The Ten Commandments are also listed in Exodus chapter 20. In fact, that chapter comes before Deuteronomy 5 and is the chapter most would turn to first to read the Ten Commandments in the Bible. There we can read the end of the commandments in verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Notice one very important difference from the way Moses worded the ending in Deuteronomy 5. When God spoke these words in Exodus 20, the part about not coveting your neighbor's wife is placed inside the rest, after the part about your neighbor's house. So when God spoke the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, did He accidentally mix them up? Did He start by going from the eighth commandment and skipping the ninth to give part of the tenth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, then jump back to the ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, only to jump forward again to finish the tenth? That's ridiculous. If anyone understands the Ten Commandments, it's the divine one who spoke them aloud at Mount Sinai. And these two passages, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, cannot both be right if the commandment against coveting is split into two pieces, coveting your neighbor's wife and then coveting everything else. They only work if there is only one commandment, the 10th commandment, against coveting anything that is your neighbor's. So which 10 commandments is the real 10 commandments? The one that includes an explicit second commandment against making and worshiping idols, and that has one unified 10th commandment against coveting. And you don't have to take my word for it. Take the Apostle Paul's, who summarized the single 10th commandment himself as simply, "You shall not covet." So if you're wondering who gets the 10 commandments right, your local clergyman or the creator of the universe who thundered them to his people at Mount Sinai, I'd stick with your creator. That brings us to our third and final question. And this one, I admit, totally ruins one of my favorite childhood stories. First, I'll give you another opportunity to request today's free offer, our beautiful 24-lesson Tomorrow's World Bible Study course. This course has been especially designed to help you gain the intimate familiarity with the Word of God that you have always wanted. Each mailing will give you 4 lessons designed to take you through a variety of biblical topics that will increase your understanding both of your Bible and of the world around you. I understand that it is hard to believe we give away an entire 24-lesson study course all for free, but as longtime viewers know, everything we offer here on Tomorrow's World is always completely free, with no strings attached whatsoever. When you contact us to get your study course, no one will ask you for a donation of any kind. Jesus commands us, "Freely you have received, freely give." And we take that command seriously. Here's information you can use to order your first 4 lessons. And then don't go away, because we're about to kick 2 people out of heaven. You won't want to miss it.
This clear and straightforward resource will help you understand this vital truth straight from the pages of the Bible. Call now, or go to twtv.org/study.
Our third question involves 2 famous individuals in the Bible, Enoch and Elijah the prophet. Now, in the case of Enoch, Genesis 5 gives us an interesting tale concerning this ancient patriarch. Amidst many who were sinning and living unrighteously, we read of him beginning in verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The phrases "he was not" and "God took him" have led many to believe that Enoch was removed from earth and taken into heaven. In fact, when I was a child, I had a popular children's Bible that told its version of the story of Enoch and titled it "The Man Who Walked into Heaven." This understanding is bolstered in the eyes of many by the fact that the passage does not mention his death explicitly, and the Apostle Paul, writing in Hebrews, said that Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Like Enoch, another biblical figure is thought by many to be in heaven, the prophet Elijah. In chapter 2 of the book of 2 Kings, we read how the time came for the mantle of prophetic leadership to be passed from Elijah to his protege, Elisha. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, part of the challenge in these passages is that the language is ambiguous and open to interpretation. Nowhere in the story of Enoch are we told where he was taken, and nothing explicitly and clearly says that he did not die. And in the case of Elijah, the Bible speaks of 3 heavens: the air above us where birds fly and clouds move, and the space above that in which the stars shine, and then what Paul calls the 3rd heaven in which God dwells. Whenever heaven is mentioned in the pages of your Bible, it's vital to keep in mind these 3 different possibilities and determine from the context which one applies to the passage. Which one applies here to Elijah's chariot ride is not immediately clear. All of this brings us to the common question, are Enoch and Elijah in heaven? That is, are Enoch and Elijah still living up in heaven in the presence of God and the angels? The details of what happened to Enoch and Elijah after their disappearance is a larger topic than we have time for. But the answer to the question itself is actually very easy. And it involves a third fundamental principle that is eminently helpful for anyone trying to understand the Bible. Use plain scriptures to help explain those that are more ambiguous. In this case, the tales of Enoch and Elijah have ambiguities that we need to resolve. Yet, there are very plain passages that are far easier to understand. And these passages leave us no doubt as to whether or not Enoch and Elijah are alive in heaven. Let's look at one spoken by none other than the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ. Speaking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who himself may have believed that Enoch and Elijah were in heaven, Jesus is very plain, saying in John 3 in verse 13, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven." There you have it, from Jesus' own mouth. No one has ascended into heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God, is the only man to have traversed both heaven and earth. He didn't say no one but two, or no one but Enoch and Elijah. He said no one. And that leaves no room for our two Old Testament friends. In fact, we can go further. We mentioned earlier that Enoch is mentioned in Hebrews. That passage, Hebrews 11, is called by some the Heroes of Faith chapter, and Enoch is mentioned in verse 5. But later, in verse 13, we're told very plainly what has happened to all of these heroes of faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. These all would include Enoch, 8 verses earlier. In fact, of course Enoch and Elijah have died. Romans 3:23 promises us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. More could be said, but no matter what tale we might speculate about concerning Enoch and Elijah, these plain verses limit us to what must be true, that Enoch and Elijah are now dead, awaiting their reward, and are not in heaven. To claim otherwise would be to disagree with the declaration of Jesus Christ himself. In this case, the plain verses of the Bible add clarity to those that are more open to misinterpretation and misunderstanding. In our last segment, we'll summarize what we've learned today. But first, I need to give you one more opportunity to request our free 24-lesson Tomorrow's World Bible Study course. Whether you've never cracked open a Bible before, or whether you're a longtime student of the Scriptures desiring a deeper understanding, this life-changing course was designed for you, allowing you to study at your own pace in the comfort of your own home. So many people all over the world are using the Tomorrow's World Bible Study course to understand challenging ideas in the Bible for the first time in their lives. Whether your question is about the natures of God and man, how to understand prophecy and what lies ahead, the origins of civilization, how to pray and build a relationship with God, or the very purpose of life itself, this Bible study course has been carefully crafted to guide you through God's Word at the pace you feel most comfortable with, opening up the Bible's ideas in new ways, whether you're a first-time Bible student or a long-time reader of the Scriptures. Accelerate your understanding of the most important book in the world by ordering your first lessons right now. And I'll be right back to highlight the lessons you can begin applying today in your own Bible study.
For today's free offer, call 1-800-236-0531 or go to twtv.org/study. This clear and straightforward resource will help you understand this vital truth straight from the pages of the Bible. If you're calling for the first time, you will also receive a free annual subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, 6 inspiring issues discussing news, science, and modern culture will help you make sense of your world from a biblical perspective. Call today and join millions around the world who are turning to Tomorrow's World for truth, prophecy, and hope in these confusing times. Call now, or go to twtv.org/study.
Today we've answered three questions that leave some confused about what the Bible says, and we've seen God's own inspired answers to those questions. Concerning where Cain could have gotten his wife, we've seen that Adam and Eve had many children, including daughters, easily providing a wife for Cain. Concerning which collection are the right Ten Commandments, we've seen that skipping the second commandment about idols and splitting the tenth commandment about coveting into two different commandments violates the word of God. And as for Enoch and Elijah, we've determined that no, they are not in heaven, trusting Jesus Christ when he says that he is the only man to have trod both heaven and earth at this time. But more than simply answering three questions, we've also illustrated three solid principles that you can use in your own Bible study. Examine the context around the verse or passage. Examine other scriptures that cover the same topic. And use plain scriptures to help explain those that are more ambiguous. And studying your Bible is worth the time you invest. As the Apostle Peter told Jesus Christ after his master had just delivered a challenging message that was difficult to understand, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And the inspired words of the Bible are just that, the words of eternal life. Your effort to understand them will be rewarded beyond your wildest dreams. If you're serious about understanding the words of life, then I can't think of a more powerful way to begin than requesting today's free offer, the 24-lesson Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course. This study course is unique, designed to teach you what the Bible itself says, not what man says about the Bible. Whether you have never cracked open a Bible before, or whether you're a longtime student of the Scriptures desiring a deeper understanding, this life-changing course was designed for you, allowing you to study at your own pace in the comfort of your own home. As always, there is no obligation. All 24 lessons are absolutely free, no strings attached, and you can cancel the course at any time. You have nothing to risk, but all of God's Word to gain. All you have to do is start by ordering your first free lesson. Don't let anything stand between you and the Word of God. It's time to understand. I hope you'll order your free copy, and I hope you'll come back next week. When you do, you'll find that Gerald Weston, Richard Ames, Rod McNair, and I will be right here waiting for you, looking forward to sharing with you the hope of the coming kingdom of God, the inspiring teachings of Jesus Christ, and the vital end-time prophecies of the Bible. Until we see you again, take care.
For today's free offer, call 1-800-236-0531 or go to twtv.org/study. Call today and join millions around the world who are turning to tomorrow's world for truth, prophecy, and hope in these confusing times. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.